Thank you, Mary Kay. It's an honor to be back here with you this morning, especially on this historic day, the 150th anniversary of our state, Kansas Day. I have to admit, I celebrate this day every year, and it's a great privilege to be here on our 150th anniversary. You know, I have to admit, though, that when Dave Gittrich called me up and asked me if I would deliver this keynote address today, I was a little apprehensive. You see, as was mentioned, I gave this address 2 years ago, and well, to be perfectly honest, I blew it all on that, and I used all my stuff. So, fortunately, David told me that, don't worry, the dinner here, it's early in the morning, everyone will be asleep, no one remembers what you said last time anyway. I don't know if that's good or bad, but hopefully we can remember at least a thing or two of today's address. You know, I was, in fact, tempted to use the same speech as last time, but, you know, the situation is a little bit different now. I remember 2 years ago that things were looking a little grim. Our nation had just elected the most pro-abortion president in history. There was no or little hope of getting any real pro-life legislation passed on the national level, and here in Kansas, we had a governor that was set to veto any pro-life bills brought forward by the good people of this state through their representatives. What a difference 2 years can make. Things on the national level are looking much brighter, and here in Kansas, we've got Kansans seeing sunflowers once again as an old friend has become our new governor. And we are so proud of Governor Brownback. We miss him fighting the good fight in Washington, but we are so happy that he is home with us. You know, I was thinking of things for the governor to do now that he's back home, and I'm sure he's got a lot of things. He probably needs to practice signing his signature. I'm sure it takes a lot more effort than vetoing things to actually sign the bills. And he's going to have a lot of pro-life legislation sitting on his desk, so he probably needs to practice his signature. I thought maybe if he needs the governor's mansion blessed or exercised or anything, I could help. You know, I have to admit that my family and I have very much enjoyed watching the Learning Channel series special, Sarah Palin's Alaska. You know, it shows Governor Palin taking her family all over the state of Alaska and showing it off and all its natural wonders. And I was thinking, maybe, you know, wouldn't it be great to have a series, Sam Brownback's Kansas? You know, we could show Governor Brownback climbing the snowy peak of Mount Sunflower, or maybe taming a wild buffalo or something. You know, Kansas has just as much to be proud of as Alaska. We do have the world's largest ball of twine, after all. You know, we do have a lot to be proud of in our great state. 150 years of history. 150 years ago today, we became the 34th state in the United States. And to be honest, this has always been one of my favorite days. I found in my mailbox just yesterday the traditional card from my mom with all of our great Kansas symbols on the front. There's the famous buffalo and the sunflower with the state insect, the honeybee, on the sunflower. That was a very nice touch. And a little box turtle, which is our state reptile. And, you know, I'm not sure I've ever seen a western meadowlark, but it is our state bird. I think there's a plastic one out in front of the state house in a park. I know all these things because when I was in school, I went all through public schools in Kansas. I'm native of Kansas. I was born in Lansing. I went to Lansing public schools all through. I graduated from the University of Kansas with a degree in computer science. So I've been in Kansas my whole life, and I'm very proud of our state. Not just all the great symbols, which I had to learn because a bunch of you legislators passed a law that said all Kansas graduates have to learn Kansas history. So I learned all that stuff, and I remember it. But, you know, the thing that always has kind of stuck in my mind about Kansas history, the thing that makes me most proud of our state is when I hear the stories of bleeding Kansas and our ancestors who fought for the good of our state and the good of our nation. It was a sad time in our nation's history, but here in Kansas, we came down on the right side of history. Ever since that day, the title Free State has been the great badge of honor forever linked with our state. You know, today we come here to pray for the cause of life, to pray that once again Kansas may come down on the right side of history. Make no mistake, the pro-life movement is the civil rights movement of our day. In the 1860s, it was Kansas who led the cause for freedom and made us all proud. It was a Kansan who led our troops into battle in World War II and afterward led our nation in peace. It was Kansas that led the nation in ending segregation in our schools. As we question what will end the modern tragedy of abortion on demand in our country, what we need is a leader. I say that once again, as has been our rightful place in history, Kansans must come together. Kansas must lead. In the 1860s, many people were saying that the only way to maintain peace in the country was to compromise and say that some people are only 3/5 of a person. But Kansas said no. Kansas must lead. Any so-called peace that would mean degrading a human person, that would mean the disintegration of our union, the death of our moral character, and no peace at all. Though fearful of war, those Kansans heard the call. Kansas must lead. And so the Free Staters of Kansas took up arms with many others and went to war to ensure true peace and justice for all. Today, we see that the unborn child is not even accorded the dignity of being 3/5 of a person. Rather, we are told that they are not people at all and can therefore be thrown away as mere trash. What will be our response? Who will stand up and protect the dignity of all human life from conception to natural death? Who is willing to fight for those who cannot fight for themselves? Kansas must lead. When General Eisenhower's troops reached the death camps of Nazi Germany, the general ordered that pictures be taken and that as many people as possible be made to see the horrific sight. He knew that no one would believe what had happened if they didn't see it for themselves. He knew that if people didn't see for themselves the atrocity of what took place in the death camps, they could deny it. Or even worse, it could happen again. At this low point in our human history, a Kansan was there to lead and do the best he could for our future. Today, the horror of abortion continues largely because it remains unseen. Even those in favor of abortion can only manage to speak of choice. Choice to do what? That is the question. Much like the pictures of the death camps of World War II, when we look at what the choice of abortion really means, we're horrified. Yet, look, we must, if we are ever to end this new Holocaust. It is for this reason that everyone should be in favor of laws that ensure that a mother seeking an abortion has a chance to see her baby. Studies show that if a mother sees the image of her baby on a sonogram, that over 75% of the time she changes her mind about abortion. It is for this reason that such organizations as the Knights of Columbus are paying to ensure that there are sonogram machines in all crisis pregnancy centers. Thank you, Knights. It is also sadly not surprising that this is why organizations such as Planned Parenthood are seeking to hide and even outlaw sonogram images from mothers seeking abortion. General Eisenhower, through his courageous actions and those of many other Allied soldiers, ended a genocide in Europe and helped to prevent future tragedies. Who will fight to end the ongoing genocide of abortion that has already claimed over 53 million young victims? Who will force the world to look at these horrors and confront the reality of abortion? Even in this sad duty, Kansas must lead. Despite the great victories won for freedom in the Civil War and the lessons learned in World War II, the 1950s still found an entire segment of our nation's people considered separate but equal. Through the efforts of fearless Kansans, confident of a bright future, the Supreme Court eventually ended the practice that created such a shameful and unnecessary division. Touring today the Brown versus Topeka Board of Education historical site, one laments the days that saw those who God intended to be brothers and sisters instead turned against each other and separate. Though a shameful part of our past, we can look with pride today and know that they were Kansans who finally had the courage to stand up and say, enough, this must stop. Kansas led our nation then. Who will lead us now in saying enough when a mother is so unnaturally turned against the child of her womb? Who will help her through this time of crisis? Who will say enough to those who treat a little baby as a disease or a mere blob of tissue? Who can help bring reconciliation, peace, and unity where there is shameful division? Who will demand that all people have equal dignity, both a mother and her baby? Once again, Kansas must lead. Yes, Kansas must lead, today even as in the past. Yet leadership is not easy. The easy way is to just go with the flow. The easy way is to just accept that Roe versus Wade is settled law. The easy way is to play the political game, get as much money as possible for our state and our districts, and then get reelected. The easy way is to hide and never really let people know what you stand for. The easy way is to remain quiet in the face of injustice. The easy way is to pretend that there is nothing we can do to make a difference. Kansas is not this kind of state. Kansans are not this kind of people, and we've never settled for the easy way. Kansans are leaders. We are not the quiet victims of history. In Kansas, we make history. As we look at the great history of our state, I've often wondered, what was it that afforded our Kansas forefathers the courage and strength of character to lead through so many troubled times? I really find two things. First, the key principle behind each of the issues in which Kansas is famous is a belief that all of us are created in the image and likeness of God. If everyone is equal, there must be some source for this equality. If we are to be truly equal, we must recognize that this equality comes from God, who created us in His own image and likeness. Our Declaration of Independence recognizes that each of us has certain rights that are given us not by the government, but rather with which we are endowed by our Creator. And it is not insignificant that the first of these enumerated rights is that of the right to life. Our founding fathers had the good sense to realize that we do not create life. Life is a gift, and not something that we're meant to toy with as though we are in control. Rather, we are stewards of the gift of life given us by our Creator. Our response to this gift can only be one of thanksgiving and humility, never one of control or manipulation. Perhaps the most important lesson that we can learn in life is that there is a God, and we're not Him. I believe that it was this kind of shared belief in the unique creation of each person by God that led Kansans of history to see beyond black and white, slave and free, to see the image of God in each man, woman, and child, and thus to see an attack on the freedom of one as an attack on the freedom of all. Blessed Mother Teresa of Calcutta reminded us of a similar truth regarding abortion. If we can accept that a mother can kill her own child, how can we tell other people not to kill one another? So we must acknowledge every person as created in God's image. Yet I think we need more than this. It is not enough merely to recognize this truth. Our Kansas ancestors not only understood intellectually the injustice of denying this truth, they were also moved to do something about it. At the risk of oversimplifying, I'll refer to this second key condition as compassion. Compassion means that I can understand the pain of another. Eisenhower took pictures because he wanted people to be able to feel the pain of the concentration camps. He gave us pictures that were enough to move us to action, to do something about the injustice. There is much pain involved in abortion. People often accuse those in the pro-life movement of only caring about the baby and caring little for the mother. Nothing could be further from the truth. When I was attending seminary, I would often spend Saturday mornings doing sidewalk counseling at one of the abortion mills in the inner city of Chicago. I can assure you that I never met a woman who was there because she felt somehow empowered to make a choice. The women I met were normally frightened, alone, and in pain. If we're going to talk about abortion, we have to make sure first that we really try to understand the pain that would lead a woman to such a desperate action. Compassion for that pain can help us to respond with the heartfelt empathy and understanding that is always lacking in the life of someone seeking an abortion. The Christian scriptures teach us that God became one of us. One of the great conclusions of this is that God came to show us that He knows our pain. We therefore most beautifully image God when we are able to recognize the pain of another and respond with compassion. The same compassion that causes us rightfully to recognize the pain of the mother and stir us to help her must also help us recognize the pain of the baby. Science has shown us that babies have a fully developed network of pain receptors by no later than the 20th week of pregnancy. Yet they have none of the pain suppressors that you and I would have that they develop only closer into even after birth. Anesthesiologists who specialize in fetal surgeries report that babies feel pain almost 5 times more powerfully as you and I. Can we feel this pain? Will compassion move us to action? The sad truth is that today, groups march in protest fighting against fishing because fish supposedly feel pain. And yet, little thought is given to babies undergoing abortion. While we provide no anesthesia to babies being torn apart in abortion, we have instead anesthetized our consciences. We often do not feel the pain of the baby or the mother or the often forgotten father and other relatives and friends who are touched. In the Bible, we often encounter people with a disease of leprosy. Part of the tragedy of this disease is that it interferes with the body's ability to sense and feel pain. And so the victim ends up doing all kinds of damage and inflicting devastating wounds on their body without even knowing it and being able to feel the pain and know to stop. It seems to me that this describes well our present situation. If we fail to empathize and have compassion with the pain of abortion, to really feel it, we won't do anything about it and will continue to disfigure ourselves to the point of destruction. On a positive note, the latest Gallup polls show that, in fact, this message is getting out. For the first time since Roe versus Wade, a majority of Americans identify themselves as pro-life. This is wonderful news. It means that we are starting to win the battle in the area of knowledge and knowing. The question then is, do we have the will to act on this, to do something about it? You all are here today, and that says something very important. Last week, over 1,000 young people marched from the Performing Arts Center to the State House, where they gathered peacefully in assembly in support of life. And this time, praise God, our governor was there to address us and marched with us. Around 500,000 more marched in Washington, D.C. But you know, when those marches ended, something struck me this year, that while it was wonderful to see the outpouring, we immediately began planning for next year's march. It kind of struck me that at some point, these marches have to end. We actually have to do something about it. Certainly, we'll keep marching, and we should. But we pray also for the dawning of a new day, that so much of what we've seen here in Kansas and in the House of Representatives in Washington will continue to play itself out as there is bright hope for a new future. Indeed, many people on the pro-abortion side would love to see us stop marching, that we would go away. In fact, that has been the message ever since Roe versus Wade. They continue to taunt us, "Don't you realize that this is settled law?" Well, here in Kansas, we know a thing or two about settling. See, my great-great-great-great-grandfather came to Kansas in a wagon and found himself an empty patch of prairie, and there he settled it. That was settling. And there's a good reason why our state motto is ad astra per aspera, to the stars through difficulties. We in Kansas know that to settle something requires great struggle and difficulty. In all of history, if ever there was a law that was going to be settled, it seems that Kansas had something to say about it, and we settled it. It's time that we settle this once again. The good news is, we don't fight this battle alone. We know that God is on our side. We fight in His grace and His strength. His Holy Spirit confirms us and gives us the wisdom, the knowledge, the understanding, the courage to stand up for what we believe, to truly make a difference. This latest battle in this war is just the latest battle in a war that began long ago when Satan first told God, "I will not serve." In Kansas, we fight proudly with God on our side to do our part to ensure that in the end, life will be victorious. We know that this is the case. And so, as we continue to take up the banner, as our Kansans did of old, we fight. We fight for what is right. We fight for those who cannot fight for themselves. And so, trusting in Almighty God, we pray. Heavenly Father, you have created every human person. In your great providence, you allowed the United States of America to come about in our great state of Kansas 150 years ago today. You have showered your blessings upon us, and many times we have not returned with the right response. We pray today that you would change the hearts and minds of all those who would turn to an abortion as a supposed solution. Give us the courage to help those most in need, especially those women who feel that they have no one else to turn to. May the good people of Kansas always rise to the occasion. In history, we had a special part to play. You chose to use Kansas to bring about your will. We pray, Almighty God, that you will use Kansas again, that once again, Kansas must lead. We ask all this in your holy name. Amen.